unquestionably the greatest television sitcom of the 90s, and probably of all time, is Seinfeld. And my parents were here at Mass last night, and I have this memory of Thursday nights, remember, NBC must-see TV, and Dad down in the basement watching Seinfeld. We were not allowed to watch it, because this is not meant to be any sort of endorsement of the morality of Seinfeld. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Dad just laughing uproariously on those Thursday nights. And then eventually, I was allowed to watch it and watch some of the classic episodes. And the final episode of Seinfeld, you might remember, it was not well received by fans of the show and by critics. Basically, what the end of the series was, the finale, was the four main characters, Jerry, George, Elaine, and Kramer, getting accused of and being put in jail for violating the Good Samaritan law, where they actually like stood and laughed at someone who was in distress when they could have helped them. And so then they're sitting in jail, and there's all these retrospectives back over the course of the whole series to all of these interactions and all the different plots and all the different ways you come to see how selfish these four people are. And that was really the point of the show. These were four really, really bad people, actually. And it was by way of humor that the whole series, I think, I'm persuaded by this sort of interpretation, is that it's actually an examination of the inherent selfishness of human nature, and it's done through comedy, done through situational comedy. But in any event, that last episode was not well received. But there was one particular episode where the character George, he's dissatisfied with his life, the way things are going. He doesn't have a job. He's living with his parents. It's just not going well. And he's at the coffee shop with the others. And he just realizes that every decision I've ever made in my life, every instinct I've ever had has been wrong. So I'm just going to do the opposite. And so instead of his usual tuna salad on toast with coffee, he says, no, chicken salad untoasted on rye with tea. And then he just starts to reverse every instinct he has. He goes and he gets a date with a woman, and he goes and he gets a job interview with the New York Yankees, and he tells off George Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, to his face, and Steinbrenner is so impressed that he hires him on the spot. And so for George, just doing the opposite, making this change of just doing the opposite of what he thinks he should do, it starts to work out for him. And it's really, really funny. St. John Henry Newman says that to live is to change, and to be made perfect is to have changed often. But what kind of change are we talking about? Are we talking about the kind of change like George Costanza made in that episode of the show? Purely out of self-interest, not really based on anything? Or are we talking about real change? The change in our lives that can only happen when it arises from an encounter with Jesus Christ and is ordered towards Jesus Christ. Because this is the kind of change we hear about on this Feast of the Epiphany at the end of the Gospel, where St. Matthew tells us this detail that because the Magi had come this long way and had followed the guidance of the star and had this kind of unpleasant interaction, to put it mildly, with King Herod, they were warned to go home by a different way. Now, that's a literal historical detail that they probably did that, but the church has always had this spiritual interpretation of that little detail, that once we've met Jesus, once we've adored Jesus, once we've worshiped Jesus, once we've seen his light shine into our lives, we cannot go the same way. And that is what real change looks like. The only real change worth making in our lives is one that arises from our knowledge of Jesus, and then one that allows us to follow Jesus more faithfully, that we become more and more like him. A lot of people like to misquote Cardinal Newman, that quote I mentioned a moment ago, that to live is to change, and to be made perfect is to have changed often, to just justify any sort of change I want to make in my life. I'm going to follow this fad, or I'm going to follow this political movement, whatever it might be. But we as Christians have to imitate what we celebrate today. that when we meet Jesus Christ and we adore him and worship him, when we offer him our gifts, our life is going to take a different direction. Now, what's also beautiful about this feast and about this passage that we just heard is that the Magi, when they do follow that different route home, it's not like they're going to another place. They're going home. You and I, my brothers and sisters, we will go back to our same jobs. We'll go back to our same families. We'll go back to our same schools. We'll go back to our same house. But we will go in a different way, having gathered here and worshiped here and laid down the sacrifice of our praise here at God's altar. And we want him to keep making those changes in us that only he can make, the only change really worth embracing. We're not going to act out of self-interest, because that's not real change. That's just following my own light instead of following the light of Christ, that star that shines. There's a beautiful interpretation we were talking about last night. Deacon and I in the sacristy with the parishioners said that it's actually the light that reflects up from Jesus Christ that guides our way. Are we willing to keep embracing change in our lives, not just for the sake of change, or not just, again, because it's a fad, or because someone else is doing it, or something I saw on social media, or I read in a self-help book, as good as those can sometimes be, but a change I'm stirred to make within myself, to go back to my same world, but to go back with the light of Christ, with the courage placed in my heart by the Holy Spirit, the desire to see Christ's promises and to be a light for others around me. This is what God wants to do in you and to do in me, is to make us a light that will shine and cause this whole world to become more and more that of Christ himself, his kingdom spreading to the ends of the earth as it began in that stable those 2,000 years ago when these wise men from another nation saw the splendor of God in the flesh. Perhaps just a little way to do this. Right, you heard at the beginning of the Mass in the announcements this opportunity we have. As I said last night, I'm not sure if this has ever been done at St. John's. My institutional memory is, yours is probably a lot better than mine. But we have that beautiful Epiphany home blessing where we write over the door of our homes the numerals of the year with the initials of the three wise men to say that when I return to my home, I'm returning in a different way. I'm returning changed by Christ and on the road to being changed in Christ until the very last breath of my life. May his light shine in our hearts and in our homes, and may we truly become that light for our brothers and sisters.